Hello and welcome to this Meetings Today podcast. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today, and really happy to be joined by James Reese today. He's the President of the Joint Meetings Industry Council, also Executive Director of Conference and Events for Excel London, and a 35-year events industry veteran, former President of the International Congress and Convention Association, and also put a lot of work in with Hilton over his career, so he really knows that side of the business too. Thanks for joining us, James.
Well, thanks, Tyler. Thanks to great to speak to you once again, and great to have the opportunity to discuss this important matter.
Yes, a very important issue, and I know I just really think covering this industry that it's embraced with much more vigor in Europe, especially, and maybe the message has not quite gotten out to the U.S. market yet. So, you know, you're on the forefront of this with the Joint Meetings Industry Council. Why don't you tell people basically what is the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative and then the Net Zero Carbon Event Roadmap?
Okay, well, great question. And this initiative really was born out of a need for the industry to speak with one voice on this key topic, the topic that's facing the whole of our industry, whether you're in Europe, in North America, in Asia Pacific, wherever. And that's around the sustainability elements of what we do and the use of carbon in trading and meeting, et cetera, et cetera. So, and this was born out of work between a number of the big meetings associations, ICA, UFI, which is the exhibition trade body, and AIPC, the convention center body, and pulling together a need to come together. And this was ahead of the COP26 event in Glasgow in the UK. And we had the opportunity to get a seat at the table and link ourselves to the work of the UNFCCC, and were subsequently invited as, if you like, the representatives of our industry to a session at COP26. We also went to Sharm El Sheikh for COP27, and we will be in Dubai at COP28. What came out of those discussions was exactly that. It sort of does what it says on the tin, netzerocarbonevents.org. And the strategy around that is that as an industry, whether you're in meetings, in trade shows, in incentives, you know, any element of the events and business events industry, we want people to gather together and input into this process. And it is very much linked to the Paris COP Accord in 2015, which is net zero by 2050 and a reduction in output by 2030. And so we've now linked our mission to halving industry emissions by 2030 and net zero by 2050. As we all know, and it's in the news everywhere, not just in our industry, but across all industries. It's a big ask, but it is becoming a topic that people are keen to talk about and to do something. If everyone can make their own small steps, if you like, that will help the industry move forward. But what the net zero roadmap, which is coming out of this work, is going to give us is a series of processes whereby we will have agreed measurability and process orientation for any supplier or meeting planner within the industry to be able to link into that roadmap and to affect the way they organize and produce any event that they are doing across the spectrum of the events industry.
Excellent. And then I guess there's a pledge that goes along with this also. And I do see that Freeman is a name everyone in the U.S. and indeed globally is familiar with, and its CEO Bob Priest-Heck said it plans to affect all five roadmap action areas. You know, what is the pledge, and then what does Freeman's move here mean to the overall effort, especially maybe in bringing this the attention to U.S. Organizations who plan meetings and events?
Okay, well, as you say, Freeman are highly active and are working. We have a number of working groups, strategic working groups, cutting across, because there's it's quite a complex business, this. And what we've done, we have a number of work streams and five key priority action areas. And those cover venue energy, production and waste, food and food waste, logistics, and then finally travel and accommodation. And the pledge, the overall pledge, is very simple and costs any industry professional nothing. They can go on to www.netzerocarbonevents.org and they can sign a pledge to work towards. So the pledge is saying, I'm going to be net zero by 2050. Effectively, that's what you're saying. Any pledgers that do sign up, we then are we begin that dialogue, and we do then invite all of those organizations, if possible, to become contributors, because as you can imagine, this is a highly complex process. We are working with consultants to help us build the roadmap and the processes, and that has to be paid for. So what we are looking to industry for is contributions, and there are different levels of contribution. The top end is platinum, then there's a gold level, a silver level, and a green level, and green is sort of whatever you can afford. The other levels start, the top end is 25,000 euros per year, and it drops down according to your level position. As you rightly say, Freeman are one of the contributors there at the platinum level. Also, interestingly, in North America, Informer are there at platinum level. The Javits Center, famous venue, amazing venue in New York, they are there. And there's other centers and organizations around the world that are making the financial contribution and therefore helping make a difference, and allowing us to speed up this process. So the pledge costs nothing. Beyond that, we do look for partnerships, but everyone who is a partner and the pledgers will benefit from the outputs that come from this work. And the reason we feel, and we're so passionate about it, we feel that particularly post-COVID, where organizations across the world felt that government and authorities didn't really understand the great things that our industry does. Therefore, we want to be on the front foot, to be very active in positioning the new processes so that we effectively design our own processes for the good of the industry rather than have authorities or governments impose it from on high in a legislative way. So it's the right thing to do for the environment. It's the right thing to do for our business, we believe.
Yeah, and I've heard people really describe that is that the industry has to basically regulate itself before someone on high and governments force some sort of regulations that may or may not be onerous to the industry.
You're absolutely right. Exactly. And interestingly, because you said at the top of the talk here around, you know, specifically North American planners, I was privileged to be in Columbus, Ohio in January for the PCMA Convening Leaders event this year. And the engagement with North American venues, I spoke at a session around this very topic. The engagement there, everyone is on it. They are, they're wanting to, and what I like is people are And I had one comment after the event. They said, we don't want people to be sort of preaching about all the bad things that the industry can do, because we will be taking action and we will do the right thing to get to net zero. What we want right now is practical ideas, practical solutions, so that we can all do our little bit. And if the industry, you know, every month we do another 0.5% of the, eventually by 2050, we'll get to that 100% of reduction to net zero. So there's real engagement, I'm pleased to say, across the globe and across North America.
You know, one area that's a huge area of contention is air travel. And, you know, if attendee air travel is greatly reduced, won't that cripple the meetings and events industry? And, you know, and especially in the U.S., where the high-speed rail infrastructure is basically non-existent compared to Europe.
It's a great question. It's been one that has been troubling the minds of the industry for many years. That dichotomy between people flying to meet and to you know, network and have discussions, and the impact of that. So I would say two things. Firstly, we know that the aviation industry knows it has to develop solutions for the future to tackle this. Therefore, I believe it's incumbent on us as an industry to do everything we can do to encourage the aviation authorities and the plane manufacturers, etc., to do whatever they can, and we will support them. I don't believe it's right to sort of bash the aviation industry because of this point, because of the fact that meetings, the value of meetings is undeniable in the development of organizations, of destinations, of creating legacy and value and societal change. There's been many lines written about that, and we know that. And I'm reminded of a story of at the time the leader of the World Wildlife Fund, who was asked about that challenge about bringing many people together in a destination, and everyone flying in, and to an organization that is built around the environment. And that person said, the reality is, if I don't bring the right people with the decision-making powers into a room to have discussions and make decisions, species will die out. And so, you know, that's quite an extreme version, but it is the truth that good things come out of international meetings. And that needs to continue for all of our societies to continue to find solutions to the problems of the planet, and also to if it's healthcare meetings, I'd rather find a balanced way of getting 30,000 European cardiologists into a city to save more lives, because they're learning how to do their jobs better through the innovations of that medical field. That these are important things that happen, and therefore for us as an industry, which is why I think the net zero roadmap is important, we have to support other industries to support us in that mission. And I think with the way technology is going in the months and years ahead, I already read with interest the sort of the technologies around batteries, and the fact that there is the possibility, the vision now, that short haul flights could be through battery powered aircraft. Yeah, there's ways now of increasing battery power through smaller, lighter batteries, etc. So there's lots that can happen very soon.
And when I hear you talking, you always reference, you know, in-person meetings, right? So, you know, someone could just say, well, we could just do all of our meetings virtually. I guess during the pandemic, we tried that. We had to try that. A lot of people were left wanting after a while. So I guess you're still bullish very much so on in-person meetings. And then the fact too, he used to work for Hilton, and that whole industry, they got to put heads in beds, right? So they gain nothing from a virtual meeting. And in fact, they kind of fuel a lot of the meetings industry through their various support and actions.
Well, I have to say, and the I hope it's not just me being the optimist that I am, but certainly in London at Excel, where I work, our numbers in 2023 are back to 2019 figures. We had a year last year, 2022, when we were looking at sort of 80 to 90% of attendance recovery. We're back to 100%. Now, that says to me, that's not James Rees of Excel speaking on a sales pitch. That is fact. Human beings like gathering together, and the experiences that business events and others create. You know, they are, I think we're wired as a race to meet, to exchange, to learn, etc. So that's very much a positive, and I am bullish about that for our industry. I also, excuse me, I was again at Convening Leaders, and the global CEO of Hilton spoke in one of the keynote sessions, and he, you know, in North America, business is back to pre-pandemic times. He's very comfortable that people are traveling, to your phrase, the heads are hitting the beds. And so there is reasons to be optimistic there. Some parts of the globe a little bit slower than others, particularly some of the Asia Pac regions who've had restrictions for longer. However, there, as they open up, people are traveling. And that, as my last ICA Congress as president was staged back in November last year in Krakow in Poland, the palpable relief of our members in, we'd had 2 years of hybrid events where there'd been a small central hub with then cluster hubs around the world at plus virtual attendees. We didn't do virtual last year, and we had just short of 1,000 attendees descending on Krakow, despite the climate, if I can put it that way, in that side of Europe. People wanted to get together. It was a great Congress. And so we should all be optimistic. However, we should also be responsible. That's where netzerocarbonevents.org, this initiative is so important going forward.
Great. And I guess that's where meeting planners and organizations can learn more about what they can do on their end to help achieve these objectives.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is, you know, again, going back to the airline question, there are, you know, we've got to work with the airlines. Sometimes you have the anomaly whereby if you fly somewhere with a stopover, it's cheaper than a direct route. But that means you're flying twice instead of once. So yeah, That's something we could seek to encourage, as an example. All these small ideas, small solutions will bit by bit make a big difference. And that's really what the roadmap is about, is finding and sharing practical ideas, practical solutions, and then building them into a matrix of processes that we can all follow and then report on. That's the other key thing. That's the other key thing on the roadmap, is that we build a reporting mechanism so we can say that we're on track to the reduction by half in 2030 and the reduction to zero by 2050.
Great. And why don't you repeat where people can find out more about this effort?
Well, simply go to our website, www.netzerocarbonevents.org. Or you can always get in touch with me. I'm in London. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm anywhere you want to get hold of me. I'm happy to talk directly if anyone wants a one-to-one discussion. It's It's an important matter of our time, and it's worth making time to talk to colleagues around the world to discuss it.
Well, thanks. As always, a very informative discussion. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Tyler. Great to see you. Great to talk.
Exactly. Thank you. That was James Reese. He is the president of the Joint Meetings Industry Council, also executive director of conference and events for Excel London. I'm Tyler Davidson, vice president and chief content director for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for this Meetings Today podcast. If you're interested in more of our podcast with thought leaders discussing important issues in the industry, just head on over to meetingstoday.com and check out our podcast section. Thanks for joining us today. And no matter what you're up to with the rest of it, go out and make it a great one. Thank you.